think I'm entitled?
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
President Biden is back on the campaign trail today. He'll pitch his tax plan to voters during a visit to his hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania. CBS News campaign reporter Aaron Navarro is in Scranton now joining us. So before we get into, you know, what he's doing in Scranton, and we know he loves to go back there and talk about his blue-collar roots, let's talk fundraising. Fundraising totals are rolling in from the Trump and Biden campaigns for Q1. Walk us through these filings. How are things going? Because last time we checked, President Biden was kind of outraising former President Trump.
Yeah. Then they're claiming he's got $100 million more in his campaign fund than Trump. Well, they're spending a lot of it, too. They need to. And, of course, they want to spin this around in that CBS report saying, look how much they're raising. And they're forgetting, of course, in one night, Trump drew more than Biden did, even though he had Obama and Clinton with him in New York City. They still couldn't get as much as Trump pulled in. We're going to go back in a moment on Biden previewing what he's planning on doing going forward, but let's set the stage for you again here. Here we are on April 16th. And reminding you, we're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on News Talk STL. And every time we're here, we're also putting up videos so you can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. Oh, by the way, I got a note that we're blocked in Russia. Oh, darn. Oh, well. They'll figure out a way to get it. In fact, if you know someone in Russia, share it with them. Just go ahead. Share it with Putin. I don't care. But we are blocked in Russia, and there are a couple other countries. I don't think we're getting into Northern Korea either. So if you know anyone in North Korea, take a chance. Bottom line is you can push share and send it to anyone anywhere in the world. And reminding you, even when you're out of reach of our two great FM signals, use the app. In fact, a lot of people use the app even when they're well within the range of our signals. Why? Well, it's always stable. Sometimes radio signals have interference, but that app is right on target. And it's very simple. It's very free. You go to newstalkstl.com. You'll see where to push, enter the app. You can listen directly there, streaming. Or get the app and you just push it on the phone and bang, it's there. You don't need to be a tech wizard to put it on. Believe me, I'm not, and I could, so I know you can. And spread the word to others. It's a quick, easy way. And then when you're in the car, just listen to it as you're driving. So here we have Biden going out and into Scranton, Pennsylvania. He's a blue-collar worker, you know, carried a lunch pail to work and everything. He never worked a day in his life as a civilian except when he was a lifeguard sitting with his hairy legs in the pool and letting their kids run their hands up and down his legs, according to Joe Biden. Never worked a single day as an American taxpayer at a job. No, I'm not going to call being in politics a true American worker. Are there good people in politics? Yes. Are there some that are, so-so? Yes. Are there some that are absolutely stinking? Yes. And hopefully we get rid of them. And you have a perfect example, an opportunity, coming up here in 2024. All right, back to the CBS report. Of course, he's going in there and talking about how great we've been raising, but he's selling a message again.
Last time we checked, President Biden was kind of outraising former President Trump.
Good morning, Anne-Marie. Yeah, that's right, and that has continued. If you just look at the main fundraising vessels for both of these candidates, for President Biden, it's the Biden Action Fund, the Biden Victory Fund. They brought in over $120 million on that committee alone. For former President Trump, Save America, the main committee, the main fundraising vessel for him, brought in $65 million. And that even just extends to the cash on hand. The Biden campaign and its apparatus, along with the DNC, has over $192 million cash on hand. President Biden's campaign previewed his remarks that he'll make in Scranton and throughout Pennsylvania this week. And it's mainly the contrast between himself and former President Trump. The campaign highlighted three things about Trump's agenda when it comes to taxes. Trump has said he wants to make his 2017 tax cuts permanent. The Biden campaign argues that that just benefits billionaires and the uber wealthy. And they also note how Trump wants to weaken IRS enforcement. Again, President Biden and his campaign are trying to neutralize that issue of the economy, as in polling shows that Biden lags former President Trump when it comes to voters' perceptions.
And you know what? So he wants to, according, he's out there saying that Trump wants to weaken the IRS. Hooray, hooray. Who's going to be against that? And they think it's a selling point. And when he talks about Biden says, I'm the only one looking out for average Joe, and we're going after the wealthy taxpayers. How many of the real wealthy does he have contributing money, including George Soros, who's taking over 200-plus radio stations in the nation? And if they're a conservative talk, they will cease to exist, is that? Two of them in the St. Louis area. A lot of wealthy and rich and famous and Hollywood elites contribute to him. And some also to Trump. But if they were really worried that he's going to snatch the rug out from under them, they just won't be able to put gas in their Mercedes, or they won't be able to keep their chauffeur driving them around, do you think they'd be supporting Joe Biden? Of course not. Because he's not really going to make it tougher for them. There's no intention of it. It's a scam, and they're hoping to sucker you into it. The problem is they don't realize the Americans have gotten a lot more smarts than they do in the White House. And you know on a daily basis, take going to the service station and trying to fill up your car with gasoline. Can you put it in as much as you want, or do you have to reach into your pocket and say, well, right now, this is all I can afford. Here's a Fox report on some of the news of the latest on gas prices.
Among the many painful prices, gasoline is now up again by more than 50% since the start of Biden's term. The national average price for a gallon of today is $3.63. Back then, it was $2.39. And drivers say their dollar just doesn't get them very far, literally.
The cost to fill that thing up drives me absolutely insane.
I'm like a handyman, so that's probably half a job, you know what I mean? So that means I just got to do more jobs.
Filling up your car today is just going to be gone in the next 2 days.
In 2 days. I have joked a bit, and it's not meant to be at anyone's expense. And yet, it's also very true in a way. Guy goes in and says, hey, give me $10 for pumper number one. And he walks out, and I turn to the clerk and say, is he trying to get to pump number two? Because that's pretty much what's happening, right? How much are you going to get for what you do pay? Oh, I'm sorry. You got one of those new electronic vehicles? Well, good for you. Good for you. And, of course, you're going to have to pay about a third of what you originally did to replace the battery. Now, hybrid cars are a different animal. Switch from electric to gas and maybe make things better. And whatever works for you, you do. It's what you want. It's your decision. But, of course, if you have an electric vehicle, if you're running the air conditioner, then in the summer it's going to decrease your gas mileage. If you're running the heater or defrost, it's going to decrease the gas mileage. And electric cars are tougher on the tires, the heavy weight from those batteries, much less replacing them every 5 to 7 years. So what are we saving? Not really anything, are we? It's just costing you. And of course, in addition to inflation and those issues, we have the constant issue with migrant crime.
Texas authorities caught an illegal migrant who was wanted in a child molestation case. The Texas Department of Public Safety caught Gabriel Gutierrez Perez after they saw him cross the Rio Grande River on a jet ski and then get picked up by a smuggler. Records revealed he was wanted on warrants in Florida for sexual assault on a child. Border Patrol also now reporting its agents caught 54 convicted sex predators who crossed the Del Rio sector illegally since October, including multiple child rapists.
Multiple child rapist. Welcome to America. And now they're living among you. I don't want any child. I don't even want the child of or relative of George Soros attacked. I do not. They're innocent. Those who are enabling this, they're the ones who are guilty. In the meantime, the trial and the court case against Trump, they're still trying to get a jury selected. They're having a difficult time. And, of course, he's calling it simply political persecution. And we also have the issue that the judge has yet to decide. Is he going to let President Trump, former President Trump, have a day off to go to his son Barron's high school graduation? Yeah, that's right. The judge may decide, no, we're not going to let you do that. You got to be here in trial. He won't let him go on the campaign trail. You got to be here to watch all this jury selection. Just the jury selection. They started with about 100. They're down to 34, trying to find 12, and probably going to need more than one alternate backup. And in the meantime, he's being charged, keep in mind, with apparently using campaign money to pay a porn star, according to Michael Cohen, who's also been convicted of lying to the jury. But this time they're going to accept him because they're after Trump. And Axios points out a very interesting correlation between Donald Trump's charges allegedly using campaign money in a way he wasn't supposed to, and Joe Biden doing the same.
President Biden's legal fees in the classified documents probe were paid for by campaign donations. That's according to Axios. The DNC reportedly paid more than $1.5 million to lawyers or firms representing the president. Biden's campaign has recently attacked President Trump for spending his campaign funds on legal fees.
Yep, but it's different. That's Joe Biden. And this is an ugly, dangerous, vicious Donald Trump. Thought justice was blind. You can see that in two ways. Blind in the sense that I don't care what you look like, who you are, or anything else, I'm going to decide on the facts. Or you can also just be blind to legitimate law and order. Israel, of course, making it clear Iran is going to pay for launching that attack against it. The question is not if, but when.
Israel says there's no doubt it will respond to the unprecedented drone and missile attack by Iran.
Iran will face the consequences for its actions. We will choose our response accordingly.
The question is how and when. Reserve Brigadier General Amir Avivi tells CBN News they presented plans for striking back even before the attack.
These plans really can be from, you know, cyber attacks to destroying nuclear plants to completely wiping out the oil production of Iran. Sinking their navy. There are so many possibilities.
Still, the White House continues to press Israel not to take retaliation too far.
We don't want to see a war with Iran. We don't want to see a broader regional conflict. We will do what we have to do to defend Israel.
Yeah, we will, because we're talking like we will, but we're not going to. Let me point this out. This is a little fact, and yet a very big fact. The Joe Biden administration did not do anything with the sanctions regarding Iran's drone and ballistic missile production when it's in front of the UN in October. They did not move to renew the sanctions which were expiring. They could have said, nope, we want to renew these sanctions against drones and missiles for Iran. They let it stand just before the October 7 attack. And of course, then we have protests all across the nation from the East Coast to the West Coast, and in the center, perfect example, out of a Chicago TV station.
From San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge to O'Hare International Airport here in Chicago. For some air travelers, that meant getting out of the car, grabbing their luggage, and walking to the terminal, just hoping to make it to their flight on time. NBC5's Natalie Martinez talked to some of those travelers who got caught up in the gridlock.
A chaotic scene at O'Hare Airport this morning. Passengers ditching rideshares and cabs, hustling on foot with luggage to get to shuttles and trains, trying to make their flights.
Coming into the terminals, they're blocking the area.
Some had no chance and had to rebook.
I'm going to miss my flight, yeah.
Some, like Aaron Marin, took video along the journey and eventually did make their flights.
My plane took off on time, but I just sat there and felt so bad for all these, you know, the people that took the Uber and Lyft were just ditching their cars. I mean, I was watching people walk from the expressway.
This all because pro-Palestinian protesters from L.A. to Miami to Philly to the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge.
I just wonder how many Muslims and even PLO supporters and even Hamas supporters might have been trying to catch a plane and they couldn't get there. Now, that's poetic justice. And then, of course, you have your great governor of Illinois, and he's pretty much unfazed because he wasn't stuck like that.
Governor J.B. Pritzker supporting First Amendment rights, not disruptiveness.
I think they can have their voices heard and let people move along their day. And I'm convinced that law enforcement ought to make sure that those byways and highways are open.
I think Chicago Police Department failed. They should have anticipated this. They should have known about it in advance.
Tonight, the American Jewish Committee of Chicago released a statement calling the O'Hare protest anti-Israel and a charade.
This is a woefully misguided demonstration.
Tonight, during evening rush in the loop, 14 arrests at another pro-Palestinian protest.
These people are very passionate about this and they want to bring awareness. Making a bunch of angry people miss their flights and holding up traffic is not the way to do it.
No, it's not. It's just PO-ing. PO-ing. I'm sure you know that means, right? And here's something else to keep in mind. This summer, they're having the Democrat National Convention in Chicago. Now, what do you think they're going to do to keep all these protesters from keeping people from arriving to the convention center? They get protesters lined up all around. They will come from all over the nation for this one. Now, they were protesting in San Francisco. They were protesting in New York, Brooklyn Bridge. And, of course, they've been at O'Hare. But with the center of the Democrat National Committee being in Chicago, and they're so upset thinking that Biden's not doing enough because he's still mouthing words he's supporting Israel, they may try to block all that off. Do you think Governor Pritzker is going to allow that at that point? Are we going to have another reenactment of what happened when Daley was in office? I truly hope not, but everything is set in motion. We'll see how it plays out. And of course, how things are playing out, there is another member of Congress willing to sign on with Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, you're right, let's get rid of Speaker Johnson. In the meantime, he's trying to cobble together a plan that will help and appease everyone. Good luck with that, much less holding on to your J-O-B. We'll take a look at that. As also, we'll be taking a look at what else is going to happen before we finally get to the end, and that would include how Biden is acting and not acting. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 844-493-0. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and
global. People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire has been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
If you want my body and you think I'm sexy, come on, sugar, let me know. If you really need me, just reach out and touch me. Come on, honey, tell me so.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This is a risky move for House Speaker Mike Johnson. For months, he has avoided saying how he plans to address aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. Now, under growing pressure, he is unveiling his plan for the first time, but it is a complicated one. The Speaker of the House said that the House will not vote on the Senate's bipartisan foreign aid package that wrapped aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan all into one. Instead, Johnson plans to break that package up and bring four separate bills to the floor for a vote, one for each issue, and then a final bill that's really shaping up to be a Republican wish list with conservative policy wins. Johnson knows he has a razor-thin majority. He's trying to satisfy all different wings of his party so that he can keep the speaker's gavel. Sources tell me that Speaker Johnson did speak to President Biden by phone before unveiling this package to Republicans behind closed doors just yesterday, but it's unclear if Democrats are going to go along with any of this. Either way, Johnson says those votes will be happening this week.
This week, and Johnson is also being quoted as saying, after he had that closed-door meeting with his Republican colleagues, my phone was melting with all the members letting me know all their ideas. There was a consensus that was recognized my view from all the opinions that were shared, and that is that it really was the will of my colleagues to vote on these measures independently, not have them sandwiched together as the Senate had done. And so maybe it's going to be sometime, well, it'll have to be later today. If he's going to do it by the end of the week, he wants to give them at least 72 hours to look at it before they vote. But a lot of the plan's still in flux and a lot of questions around not only the plan, but Mike and Johnson himself. Now, again, to restate for you, he's looking at four separate bills. Chuck Schumer want and Biden want only one, Ukraine. Oh, yeah, we'll take Israel with it, too. We can take that as one bill. Oh, and we want money for Taiwan in there. Yeah, that. So we want three items in that one. Oh, you might as well throw in some money for the border, which is not going to be to increase border security, but to send more Border Patrol agents down there to help process people to get into the country quicker. That is not the consensus of conservatives in Congress, House or Senate. But this strategy he's laid out is already getting immediate backlash from some conservative lawmakers. And in fact, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican of Georgia, said a lot of conservatives are very upset. Upset to the moon, Alice. Some of you will know the reference. Some of you have, what's wrong with Larry? She's saying he has literally broken his promise. And, of course, she had already proposed that maybe we need to get a new speaker in to drop him like we did McCarthy. Now, on that point, according to CNN, Republican Congressman Thomas Massie said, I will co-sponsor an effort to oust Johnson from his job. And he called on him to resign. Johnson's response is, I'm not resigning. No. But bottom line is, I'm not resigning. You're going to do it, you're going to have to boot me out. Well, they certainly may well do that, but it's a bad idea to go down this road again. Now, we know Marjorie Taylor Greene, along with Republican Thomas Massie, have said, we're ready. We're ready to move ahead and get rid of him. Right now, based on what he's presenting. Andy Biggs of Arizona, along with Taylor Greene, already announced today that they're against any more aid for Ukraine. And at the same time, I'm looking at, as Biggs said, Israeli funding should not be held hostage by Ukraine funding. I certainly agree. And he said the American people deserve to know when their senators, or rather where their senators, stand on each funding component. See, that's the other part of the equation. You may not like it, but let's see what you really don't like. Let's see where you stand, Chuck Schumer. If it's a separate bill, which he'd already turned down before. If you remember, after October 7, he said, we need $15 billion immediately for Israel. And Johnson got the House members to immediately vote and give him a bill for Israel, $15 billion. And what did Senator Chuck Schumer do? No. I want Ukraine money in there with it. You said you needed the money for Israel ASAP. Here it is. And Schumer said, no, I want more. I want Ukraine. There's no correlation. Except for the Biden administration, they want Ukraine more than anything else. Now, you can ponder all day long and night and for several days and weeks and longer as to why Biden is so concerned about helping Ukraine. For one thing, I don't want Russia to advance and roll over them either. But we have given a lot already. They may need more. And I'd be willing to go along with it. Even Senator Ted Cruz has voted for every bill for Ukraine, is stalling on this one, saying, but I want money for the border, our border. So aside from trying to get Republicans on board, because his plan in such flux right now, that includes how far the House proposals will stray from what the Senate's top-line spending numbers are and whether they will be sent separately or one single package. Another wild card is how Democrats are going to react to Johnson's proposal, obviously. Not just the Republicans, but Democrats. Both chambers of Democrats are adamant they want to see the Senate passed supplemental. And in fact, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat in New York, reemphasized that just yesterday. Another Democrat, Adam Smith from Washington, said, they have not come up with legislation yet. We don't have time. We don't, so I'm highly skeptical. Ukraine's on life support. It's like they're getting ready to pull the plug here. Not even so much pulling the plug, they're tripping over the plug. Is not even necessarily intentional. It's just not understanding the seriousness of the situation and the importance of the timing. I get it. I know how valuable and difficult it is for Ukraine right now. I got that. And I know what's at stake beyond Ukraine. But you guys fail to recognize what's at stake in our own nation. Are you willing to take the doors off the house, your house, and just leave the doors open and off and the windows up? Because that's what you're asking our nation to do right now. Not only asking, that's what you've done. You can concern yourself about Ukraine and Russia all day long, but if we don't remain vital as a nation, we can't help Ukraine or any country. I think that makes better sense than the idiocy we're seeing from your side. And New York Congressman Mike Lawler says we got to find a way to bring everything together.
We must lead. As leader of the free world, the United States has an obligation to support our allies. Between Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, the United States must get the aid and support necessary. I think it's been a long time coming, absolutely, but I'm glad the speaker has made the decision to put this on the floor. While it will be four separate bills, my perspective is I'm less concerned about the process and the procedure and more concerned about the end result. We need to get aid to our allies. Russia, China, and Iran are not our friends. They're not our allies. They have engaged in an unholy alliance to undermine and destabilize the United States, Israel, and the free world. And we must combat this malign effort.
And the malign effort by the Biden administration. Let's add that in there as well. And once again, the push for Johnson, say, you either walk the line we give you or we'll remove your butt. And Marjorie Taylor Greene introduced a resolution the other day on it. As I just told you, Congressman Massey is saying, that maybe I'm going to be on board with it. In fact, I'm looking again at some of the remarks by Massey. He got booed by Republican colleagues after announcing that he was going to go along with her, that maybe we need to vacate the chair. Massey said, I asked him, Mike Johnson, I asked him to resign. He said he would not. And then I said, well, you're the one who's going to put us into this, talking about the motion to get him out. The motion will get called up, and he's going to have to lose more votes or will lose more votes than Kevin McCarthy did. He said, I told him that in private weeks ago. You know what you call that? Extortion. Extortion. And who's it going to hurt? It's not going to really hurt Johnson when you get down to it. It's hurting our nation. And it's also hurting the possibility of how strong conservatives and Republicans are going to be going into 2024. And right now, it's the kiddies' romper room. And somebody has a toy that another one wants, and there's where the fight started. Plus, we got a bunch of whiners. We got crying. We got food all over the place. We got poopy diapers, and nobody's doing nothing. Oh, and by the way, the Trump trial and the reasons Trump is on trial, Biden could face the same thing, but of course he's not because he's Joe Biden. More to come when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beal has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beal. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, since we're talking about the value of this nation, that if we're going to be valuable to the rest of the world, we've got to protect our nation. There's a new survey out I want to share with you. Now, this is conducted for the Heritage Foundation by RMG Research, focusing on battleground swing states. And in this survey of 1,000 likely voters inside those swing states, strong support for stopping the invasion at the U.S. southern border, and very little appetite for shipping more taxpayer dollars to Kyiv. When asked which they believe is more significant, again, this is a poll of only 1,000, but is in likely swing states and voters who would be voting there, 50% of those polled said it's more important to secure our border than to provide funding for Ukraine. Again, the research is RMG Research for the Heritage Foundation. 11% said it's more important to continue funding Ukraine. 11%. I'd like to have a discussion with those 11% and ask a very simple question. Riddle me this. If our country no longer exists, how are we going to help Ukraine or any other country? I'm waiting. What's your answer? It's not a very good answer, is it? You can't think of anything that will answer it effectively, can you? If the USA ceases to exist, how are we going to help any other country? Let me give you a tip, a little tip, a little clue. You got it? We won't be able to help any other country because we don't exist as a country. What was it? One of the Democrat congresswomen from Texas said the other day, "We 400 years we've had this country in our Constitution." Not exactly. But aside from that, I'd like to keep it, wouldn't you? If you don't like our country, you're free to leave. So 11% said it's more important to continue funding Ukraine. All right, so 50% said more important to fund and protect our borders than spend money on Ukraine. If you're going to have to choose, which one? The USA. That's why this is not Larry Connors, Ukraine. It's Larry Connors, USA. 11% say Ukraine. Well, let me see. Let me do my ciphering. 50 plus 11. I don't have enough fingers for that, but I think that would be 61% or something like that. Am I right? Okay, thanks. That leaves about 29, 30%. What did they say? Well, I'm glad you asked. They said, equally, we believe equally, both are important. You really can't believe that. If I'm asking, are you willing to support both, you might say yes, but if I say which one, if you had to choose one, you're going to choose Ukraine, and you can't say both of them because I said you can choose only one. And in fact, the swing state respondents, according to this survey, when they were pressed more on U.S. policy toward each issue, of those surveyed, 1,000. Now, that's not a big number, but if it's done correctly, demographically weighted, and I'm sure there's room for some differences, a margin of error, as they say, but if you go from 50 to 11%, that's not anywhere near within the margin, nor even 50 to 29%. But when pressed further, the swing vote voters stated overwhelmingly support for tackling our border crisis. And in fact, 54% said the best approach for America is to spend more to secure our border than help Ukraine. 10% actually said the opposite. 13% said we need to spend an equal amount addressing both. And 12%, well, I don't know. I don't flip a coin. Is that the way we're going to keep this nation alive, flip a coin? The poll also found that likely voters are adamantly opposed to shipping more U.S. taxpayer dollars to Ukraine. Those who are against it are adamantly opposed. Congress has already sent Ukraine in 2022, just 2022, $113 billion. That's according to the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. That word responsible is very big. And 56% of those surveyed say, I think that's too much. And that's just in 2022, when all of it started. 3% said we have sent far too little. Well, I don't see them ponying up more money to send Ukraine themselves, taking all their savings and selling their house and their car, whatever they got, and say, send this to Ukraine. And equally significant, it's pointed out, the vast majority of swing state voters oppose Congress continuing to pass legislation containing more money for Ukraine, but nothing related to securing the border. In fact, 75% of those surveyed, 3 in 4, oppose any proposal that would do that. Only 5% said they strongly favor a measure where we send more money for Ukraine and nothing for us. I don't know the descent of these people, their heritage, or anything else, but this was taken April 2nd through the 4th among likely voters in Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. And the margin of error is 3.1 percentage points. The numbers are far from the margin of error. So maybe instead of 56, it should be 53%. That is still major. Now, we've got to secure our nation if we're going to do anything good. While we're talking about various states, let me share this with you. This was yesterday. I didn't have time to get to it on the air for you. The U.S. Supreme Court yesterday granted Idaho's request to partially stay a lower court injunction which previously prohibited Idaho from enforcing its law criminalizing child sterilization and mutilization. The Vulnerable Child Protection Act was passed in Idaho, signed into law in 2023, ensuring those who participate in the physical and chemical transing of a minor will face a felony charge and a maximum 10 years behind bars for inflicting irreversible damage on children in the name of radical gender ideology. The legislation states, those medical and surgical interventions can cause irreversible physical alterations. Some render the patient sterile or with lifelong sexual dysfunction, while others mutilate healthy body organs. We know they do. There's not even a question. A federal district court in the state stopped enforcement of that law before it was supposed to go into effect January 1 of this year. The judge claimed in his injunction that cross-sex hormones and other procedures falsely labeled as gender-affirming care are, quote, safe, effective, medically necessary for some adolescents. So Idaho could not enforce its prohibition against such surgeries. So in a 5-4 decision in our Supreme Court yesterday, the court determined that the lower court prohibiting Idaho from enforcing any aspect of that newly enacted law went, quote, much further than permitted. So they were saying you cannot keep them from enforcing any aspect at this point. But look for it to move around. The ruling added, as in so many recent cases, the district court's universal injunction effectively transformed a limited dispute between a small number of parties focused on one feature of a law into a far more consequential referendum on the law's every provision applying to everyone. And inside the judge's order, enforcement of the law was a warning to lower courts against weaponizing universal injunctions. In fact, Justice Gorsuch concluded, a return to a more piecemeal and deliberative judicial process may strike some as inefficient. It may promise less power for the judge, less drama and excitement for the parties and public, but if any of that makes today's decision wrong, it makes it wrong in the best possible ways, for good judicial decisions are usually tempered by older virtues. But before you start celebrating, they're telling the lower courts you cannot do this, and basically telling the Ninth Circuit, which handed down the ruling that went to the Supreme Court, that Idaho trans ruling has enormous ramifications. Again, I ask, like I have many times, how do we ever, ever get here? Which brings us to the issue with Donald Trump in court, and Axios is saying, hey, remember Trump's being charged for misuse of federal campaign dollars? There's another case.
President Biden's legal fees in the classified documents probe were paid for by campaign donations. That's according to Axios. The DNC reportedly paid more than $1.5 million to lawyers or firms representing the president. Biden's campaign has recently attacked President Trump for spending his campaign funds on legal fees.
Yeah, that's exactly true, but they're not bothering with Biden at this point so far, and probably never will. Trump made a complaint yesterday outside the courtroom. I cannot go out and campaign. I'm stuck here. I got to stay here. He may not be able to go to his son's high school graduation. They want him to be there in court. Now, if the graduation is night, maybe he'll be able to go there unless they decide, oh, we're going to hold a night session. Who knows what they'll do? The judge has said you're not allowed to leave here and go to the Supreme Court to hear your case argued about presidential immunity. Really? I mean, both cases are facing him. Presidential immunity is a big case for him, and he's not going to be allowed to go to the Supreme Court and hear that argument. No, you got to sit in that chair. And yesterday, according to some in the room, it looked like he kind of went to sleep for a while because it's boring going through the various jurors asking your name, date, They started with 96. The judge excused some of them for personal reasons, and others were dropped for various reasons. They're down to 34 or so at last check. And they're going through additional paperwork today, laying out which news organizations they rely on and their political leanings. And all of this, what's happening right now with this New York case and others waiting to grab Trump, I'm looking at a piece in The Federalist written by Brianna Lyman. We've had her on before. She said, right now, Trump is going to be in court instead of campaigning for 8 weeks, thanks to the Democrats' law actions against him. She said, 8 weeks at the best. And of course, Bragg indicted Trump on 34 counts alleging that he had his then-lawyer, Michael Cohen, pay money to Stormy Daniels to cover an alleged affair he had years earlier. Bragg claiming that Trump falsified business records, breaking the law, by reporting his company report payments to Daniels as legal fees instead of campaign expenditures. And legal experts such as the Federalist Margaret Cleveland, we've had on numerous times, said that indictment, and I use her words because she is right on it. She knows law and she also knows how to choose some choice words. She said the indictment itself is pathetic and partisan. But the judge is not going to let him go out and campaign. And they're saying the only possible exception would be tomorrow. The court will not convene, but that depends on whether the judge said, no, I think we will go ahead and convene tomorrow. Even if we just convene and sit around and talk, have some coffee, and I want to just look at Trump for a while, a little bit longer. Experts on both sides of the aisle, by the way, according to the Federalist, have indicated the case lacks merit and will be unlikely to succeed. But every day he's in the courthouse, he's on the campaign trail. That's why Joe Biden went to Scranton, Pennsylvania today to be with his own working people again. You know, the blue-collar workers, the guys I'm all for. And we're going to raise taxes against the rich while taking care of you. Oh, you're an auto worker, lost your job because we're switching to electric? Oh, I'm sorry. Are you a pipeline worker on the Keystone Pipeline? Well, I'm sorry. But we'll get it all fixed. You can learn a new job. Pick up a broom, start to work. As always, thanks for listening. Tell others. Share. Please share what you hear. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.